How's your golf game? Yeah, mine too, but more on that later. It's time for more golf talk on the CDGA Golf Show, your guide to golf around the world and in your neighborhood. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000.
Here are your hosts, Barry Cronin
and Tyler Rocky.
Welcome in. It's the CDGA Golf Show presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Tyler Rocky alongside Barry Cronin. We're with you every single Sunday morning here on ESPN 1000, 7 to 9 a.m. This segment brought to you by Golf Elgin, home of Bowes Creek Country Club and the Highlands of Elgin. And we go out to the Jersey Mike's hotline now, where we welcome in the Senior Vice President for Tournaments of the Western Golf Association, Vince Pellegrino, is with us here on the CDGA Golf Show. Good morning, Vince. Thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning, Tyler. Good morning, Barry. How are you guys doing this morning?
You're doing great, Vince. Thanks so much for being with us. Appreciate it. Another great congratulations on another awesome Western Amateur yesterday. You had some great players in the Sweet 16, and you really had a great event out there at Exmoor.
Yeah, we really did. I mean, the as you mentioned, the Sweet 16 was unbelievable. Just for the players to get to the Sweet 16, you know, you talked about the format, truly a grueling championship, but the cream rises to the top. And we had players like Travis Vick, you know, University of Texas, Ricky Castillo, and Thor Bjornsson, who won it last year, and William Mao. I mean, the list is really strong, and the field was very deep this year. And I think once you play all that golf, the best players do tend to rise to the top. And given the conditions of that golf course this week, which were just absolutely tremendous, you know, it turned out to be a great championship, and it's just really a great story with Austin Greaser winning the championship. What a great match it was!
It was terrific. It went down to the last hole, and I mean, Mateo really gave Austin all he could handle, and but it was great. You mentioned you talk about the cream rising to the top. Austin Greaser was runner up at the U.S. Amateur last year, and actually played in the Masters earlier this year. So you know he's a high quality young man out of Dayton, Ohio, and of course you mentioned Travis Vick, who was low amateur at the U.S. Open this year, and Michael Thor Bjornsson, who was top 10 at the Travelers this year on a sponsor exemption, is also, and of course, he was carrying around his Evan Scholars bag. We talked to him last week on the show. He's an NIL guy with the Western Golf Association. I didn't know you guys were paying as much as those quarterbacks down at Alabama can get.
Well, not quite that much.
But, no cars, you know, yet, right?
Thor's been a great representative for us, obviously, you know, playing in the U.S. Open and finishing fourth in the Travelers.
Right.
And, you know, doing some things for us like Media Day. You know, it's been a benefit to the Western Golf Association and Evan Scholars Foundation. You know, everything we do is really promoting championship golf, but also the Evan Scholars Foundation and putting our name on the bag of Thor, I think, provides dividends for us with really promoting the best scholarship program in the world.
And, of course, Vince, I know you're going to be leaving for Wilmington, Delaware, I guess tomorrow, I think you told me, and for the BMW Championship, and that'll be in a couple of weeks. Memphis, of course, is the first event in the FedEx Cup playoffs next week, and then you will follow that, 70 players in Delaware.
Yeah, and we're really looking forward to it. You know, Wilmington Country Club has just been a tremendous host for us so far. They've been great to work with, and you know, certainly a golf-starved market. I don't think there's ever been a PGA Tour event in Delaware, and you know, we had such great success in Philadelphia at Aronimink in 2018 with that championship, and we're seeing the same kind of support from the corporate supporters out in Delaware, but also the fans. I mean, we're trending about 10 to 15% higher in our ticket sales than we were even last year at Caves Valley, which is really tremendous. And we're looking forward to seeing the best players in the world. I mean, the lineup is going to be really tremendous at Wilmington. But, yeah, we're looking forward to that. There's no rest for us and our team, and we're just going to, you know, get through one know, more.
It's unbelievable, more Vince. You got six tournaments. You know, you've got the Women's Western Amateur, Women's Western Junior, the Western Junior. I mean, and Yeah, it goes on and on, and you got such a great team, Steve Prioletti up there and all your guys, and, of course, the world's greatest rules officials, John Brendel and David Haverick. I mean, my gosh.
You know, Barry, it takes a lot of people and volunteers to make these championships happen. And obviously, partners of Western Golf Association with, you know, Naperville hosting the junior and Prestwick with the Women's Western Junior and Sunset Ridge with the Women's Western Amateur, and obviously just this past week with a great partner in Exmoor Country Club. So, it's not only the volunteers, but it's our club partners that support these championships, but the Evans Scholars Foundation as well. And going to places, new places, you know, like Wilmington Country Club, you know, just helps us grow the program and presence of the Evans Scholars Foundation from coast to coast. But we're not going to forget about Chicago. We'll be back here next year at Olympia Fields Country Club, which is one of our, you know, greatest partners here in the Chicagoland area. So we're really excited about, you know, bringing the championship back home here to Chicago next year.
Vince Pellegrino is our guest here on the Jersey Mike's Hotline. He's the Senior Vice President for Tournaments of the Western Golf Association. So, Vince, why Delaware? I mean, it's like you mentioned, it's a community that really hasn't seen a lot of PGA Tour events before. So what's the importance of going out to Delaware versus a place like Chicago?
Well, you know, as I mentioned a little bit, you know, we had a great championship at Aronimink in Philadelphia, and we were really looking to get back to the East Coast. That market in particular is kind of a crowded market in the next couple of years with the PGA Championship heading over to Aronimink. And, you know, we worked pretty closely with our friends at the Golf Association of Philadelphia, who are partners with the J. Wood Platt Scholarship. And they really helped us identify a few clubs in that market, greater Delaware and, you know, greater Philadelphia area. And Wilmington was on their radar, and it really wasn't on ours to begin with. But once the PGA Tour and Western Golf made some site visits and started working with the folks there, they were really excited, embraced the championship. But again, it is about, you know, BMW as well. I mean, they were very interested in that market. You know, for them, it's an important market, you know, for their brand. But it's also important for us to continue to spread the Evans Scholars Foundation brand from coast to coast. So that's why you'll see us, you know, move to different markets. And, you know, we announced that we're going to go out to Denver in a couple years. So it's about the PGA Tour making sure that we have the best competitive atmosphere for the best players in the world. Our title sponsor, BMW, but then also the Evans Scholars Foundation. So it's really kind of a three-party decision, and make sure it works for all parties.
Is it for you too, as someone who helps coordinate all these tournaments? And Chicago's an area that hasn't had a tournament with fans in quite some time now. In fact, we're going to see a live event here before we see another PGA Tour event here. What does that say about the Chicago footprint of golf right now?
Well, we had a little pandemic that interrupted fans in 2020. So, you know, we had the championship at Medina in 19, back in 20. Like I said, we're coming back next year. You know, listen, it's a crowded marketplace. This is a playoff event on the PGA Tour. It's been very successful for us to take the championship to different markets. But when we do come back to Chicago, you know, fans truly embrace the championship and come out in droves, really, to see it. You know, we're selling corporate hospitality for Olympia Fields, and it's going tremendously successful already. So, you know, it's the golf fans of Chicago do miss us when we're out of town, and when we come back, they really embrace it and support it.
So, Vince, the President's Cup is supposed to be at Medina in 2025. So, does that mean that'll be in September, I think, and then, I guess on your every other year schedule, you would be in Chicago 2025 in August. But would that happen, or are you thinking maybe not coming back in 2025 and just come back in 2026?
Yeah, you know, Barry, we're still working through that. We'll probably have some announcements, you know, on future sites for the you know, 25, 26 and beyond in the next couple months here. But yeah, I mean, like, Chicago is our home. We're always going to take a look at venues in the Chicagoland area, and, you know, whether it's places like Conway Farms that we've been, or Medina, and obviously Olympia Fields. We're going to take a look at all those different venues, but when our partner, the PGA Tour, does come to town, you know, that's one of the things that we have to take into consideration. And so now we'll be making some decisions very soon, but, you know, Medina's been a great partner of Western Golf, as those other clubs, and, you know, we're going to continue to have them on the radar for future events.
Hey, Vince, getting back to the Western AM, a question I have for you is, obviously, this isn't something that it gets planned out well in advance, but being in Highland Park about a month after the tragedy that took place in the town, what did it mean to have that event in the town of Highland Park just so shortly after what took place on July 4th?
Yeah, you know, obviously the tragic events in Highland Park on July 4th, and, you know, we had our media day there not too much long after that, and really... what an impressive community, strong community. They really obviously have gone through so much with those tragic events. You know, I think we a lot of the players, a lot of the volunteers had ribbons on to recognize that tragic event. You know, I think there was a lot of people that rallied around the championship, especially the membership and the community. We had law enforcement and first responders out at the championship, really just, you know, trying to enjoy the championship golf. But yeah, it's it was truly tough for I think for everybody. It still continues to will and will be for a very long time. But to have some sense of normalcy, at least for a little while, I think is important for everyone.
You know, it's interesting. I was out there, saw a few friends out there, and they told me that one of the people that they know who's a member at the club, the grandfather was out there with the grandchildren and almost was hit. So, I mean, that with a bullet. And, I mean, that really, you know, we see all this stuff on TV. Every other day there's a tragedy or a mass shooting. But when you meet somebody and they tell you that this happened to somebody in their family and they nearly were hit with a bullet, I mean, it really brings it home. And Vince, I'm sure you talked to, you know, people up there who had similar experience, et cetera. But, you know, thank God we were able to have a good tournament. And obviously nothing bad happened. It was all positive.
Yeah. And, it, you know, those events touch everyone, whether you knew somebody or not in the community.
Right.
You know, it affects you in various ways. And to be able to have the championship and have it for something good. You know, it's not just about the golf, but also Exmoor did an incredible job of raising money for the Evan Scholars Foundation. They raised over $700,000 to send caddies to college, you know, deserving caddies. And, you know, the people of that community will benefit from this championship by the way of the Evan Scholars Foundation. So, you know, we try to do, you know, good things, too, when we bring these championships to clubs, and that's in the way of the Evan Scholarship.
Well, the Evan Scholarship is the best charity in golf, and golf has a lot of great charities, but the best golf charity. And I know you were an Evan Scholar down in Indiana, and obviously benefited you, and it's benefiting a lot of kids. More than 1,000 students a year go to college on an Evan Scholarship now, and it's in there. And you guys are expanding across the country. I mean, Oregon, Colorado. What's the one out east, Vince?
Well, we just opened we're going to open a scholarship house at the University of Maryland as a result of the proceeds from last year's championship at Caves Valley. So, you know, we've got obviously Penn State and, you know, Rutgers, and we'll have Maryland. So the program is expanding, and that's what our goals are by, you know, 2030, to send 1,500 kids to college on full tuition and housing scholarships. So by doing that, we need to expand our program, whether that's, you know, increasing caddies programs throughout the country to give kids the scholarship. I mean, it's a life-changing scholarship, and I think your listeners probably know that. They've seen it, but many don't, and I think we need to continue to spread the word that, you know, caddying is an unbelievable summer job, and whether you get the Evans Scholarship or not, you know, it's great for kids to be outdoors, you know, learn how to make a dollar and hard work,
and you learn how to play cards. People. You learn how all kinds of stuff at the caddy shack, don't you, Vince?
I was an incredible hearts player. Sometimes I made more money playing hearts than caddying.
There you go,
playing cards and reading greens. Vince, thanks so much for joining us this morning. Appreciate your time and best of luck with everything going on with the BMWs.
Sounds Sounds good. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Thanks, Vince.
Thank you, Vince. Vince Pellegrino, the Senior Vice President for Tournaments of the Western Golf Association, joining us on the Jersey Mike's Hotline. When we come back, we will get into what's coming up at Rich Harvest Farms in a little over a month from now. Are you thinking about going to the LIV Golf event? And does LIV Golf need you to show up, too? We'll discuss all of that. Bob Herrick had some thoughts with Randy Merkin on the Golf Club podcast earlier this week. We will discuss when we come back. This segment brought to you by Golf Elgin, home of Bowes Creek Country Club and the Highlands of Elgin.
Welcome into the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Here's your hosts, Barry Cronin and Tyler Rocky.
This segment brought to you by Cog Hill Golf and Country Club, a pure golf experience. It's the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000 every single Sunday morning, 7 to 9 a.m. Barry, the heavens have opened up outside.
They have. It might, so, this might affect, yeah, you might have to take cover.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you're maybe sitting under a gazebo right now or inside a clubhouse, give us a call, 312-332-3776. And we're discussing a lot of things with LIV Golf, including the event that's coming to Rich Harvest Farms in about a month plus a week from now. And that's something that we polled on our Twitter account at ESPN 1000. Are you planning on attending the LIV Golf event in the Chicagoland area in September? Right now, a heavy, heavy contingent in the no category. 85% saying they are not going to the LIV Golf event. 15% say they are planning on heading out to Sugar Grove to go see the LIV Golf Tour. And it's one of those things where last week, it was last week.
Bedminster.
Yep. There was limited attendance. I believe the numbers were pretty good out in Portland when for their first American event that they had. But this is one of the bigger markets that they are going to travel. In fact, if you look at markets, unless you're counting Bedminster as New York, this is the biggest market that they are going to travel to as a part of this 8-tournament circuit. And I'm intrigued to see what the turnout's going to be like in a month.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting. I mean, you know, Sugar Grove is kind of far from the city, but it's not far from Naperville. I mean, it's maybe 20 minutes west of Naperville, Aurora, which if you took Lyle, Naperville, Aurora, and you combine the populations, I think they would be the second largest city in Illinois, right? So there's a lot of people who live, you know, Oak Brook and west. And that's what I think that's where I think it'll come from. You know, unless people want to drive, you know, people, seems to me, again, people on the North Shore don't travel so much. It's too long. I mean, it's too far, really, when you think about it, for them. And from even just from O'Hare, it's 45 minutes. Yeah. So, you know, it's a bit of a hike, but I think there are people out there, and I mean, there might be people that go. I think, you know, like you take a poll, like a Twitter poll, right? It's not exactly like, and we know how bad the polls are, in like presidential polls are bad, and they try to get random people and all that. So, as I say, to me, this poll, 85% won't go. It's the Barry poll. The informal Barry poll is, when I talk to people, they hate LIV. A lot of people do hate it. There's antipathy toward it. I'm sure there are a lot of people who like it, too. And maybe I'm just not talking to that demographic. But I've only talked to one person in the last couple of weeks who really, you know, says LIV's going to be great and you guys are missing the point and it's a great business and yada, yada. So we'll see what happens. I mean, I'm going to go. I think I'll get a media credential. Maybe we'll see if they give me one.
Yeah, you might get kicked out.
I don't know. I peace, love, rock and roll. We've been real. I have to say, in the magazine Chicago District Golfer, we've been very objective. You know, there's been no real one way or another. We're trying to cover it right down the middle, and I think we've done a good job of that. I think it's And you know, we've been trying to look at it objectively on the show. I know people think maybe I'm a little bit not loving it, but we'll see.
I think now we could have put out a poll on ESPN 1000 as well. Are you going to the Bears home opener? And you'd probably still get like a 20% yes. Now, if the question were maybe framed, right, do you want to go to the Bears home opener?
Right.
Maybe you're looking at more of a 70% approval rating there.
Right.
The one thing I will say is, I know you mentioned how Sugar Grove, a little far out there from the actual city, but for a city that, kind of like what we were talking about with Vince Pellegrino, hasn't had a major golf tournament for fans since 2019, I don't think the distance is going to really do anything in terms of detracting people. It's just going to be a matter of, do you actually want to go if you are a golf fan and want to go out and see professional golfers?
Right. And from what I've heard, their ticket sales have been pretty good, and their corporate sales have been good, better than one might expect. So, and the other thing I will say that is that Rich Harvest Farms hosted the Solheim Cup in 2009, and that got really good attendance. That's the Europe versus U.S. in a Ryder Cup style event for women. So they got a lot of good attendance out there for that. So, you know, and I would think Phil Mickelson and Patrick Reed and Dustin Johnson, you know, you don't get to see those guys every day or even every other year anymore here. So it could be a viable thing. And Liv has... Greg Norman made the point that we're trying to go into markets that the PGA Tour, you know, hasn't been in a while. They did go to Boston this year, and Boston did have the U.S. Open, as you pointed out to me when we were talking. And then they've been in New Jersey, which is kind of the New York market, which the PGA Tour hasn't been in. And Portland, of course. So, you know.
Yeah.
And then they're going to go to Miami, too, for the finale. They're going to go down to Doral, to the Trump Doral course. So,
right. So this was from the Golf Club podcast, which Randy Merkin here from ESPN 1000 hosts. He gets episodes up pretty much every single week. This was with Bob Herrig earlier, and I found this very interesting. Herrig was talking about, does Live Golf care if people actually show up? Because we always talk about it, how, oh, they've got all the money in the world. Do they actually care? Like, what does attendance actually do for their bottom line in all reality? This was Bob Herrig. Does Liv Golf care if people actually show up?
No, I think they care. I think they know that they need to create buzz. You know, they need to, you know, I didn't even mention it. They basically are streaming it on YouTube and on their own website with not a whole lot of promotion. They're going to need to get a partner, either an over-the-air or a streaming partner that pays them a fee. You know, they're not going to just continue to throw money at this forever. They might for the next few years, but not forever. They're going to want some money coming back in. And you do that through corporate, you know, hospitality, ticket sales, maybe parking, obviously concessions. By the way, their concession prices seem very reasonable to me. You know, they've done well there. They haven't been charging for parking. But you want bodies out there. You know, one of their mottos, one of their slogans is golf, but louder. You can't be loud if there's nobody there, if there's not enough people there. So they definitely want to have. Now, will fans get into it? I mean, I think the Chicago market is a great test for them. They have been trying to go to places that are underserved. Obviously, the BMW hasn't been there since 2020 when there were no fans, because of COVID. So really, 2019, last year and this year, no tournament in the Chicago area. So will people attend just because they want to see golf? You know, I talked to some people in Portland. I was just sort of asking them the question, you know, are you good with this whole thing? What do you think of the funding? What do you think of the whole, you know, idea of this and these guys going against the PGA Tour? And I had two or three people tell me, just anecdotally, hey, you know, I just want to watch golf. We don't get men's golf in Portland. I might not ever get to see Phil Mickelson play golf. You know, that's pretty strong. You know, I think there's in the media, we tend to, you know, hype up the thing, you know, the negativity, and obviously for obvious reasons with the Saudi funding, but there's probably a good number of people out there who do not care about that. they just want to watch the golf, and they can put that aside for their own entertainment purposes.
So I found that very interesting, and I think there's a couple little things to dissect there. First of all, at the start where he's talking about they're not just going to throw money at this thing blindly forever, right? At a certain point, if it's not profitable, they're going to pull the plug, and they quite frankly don't care because at the end of the day, they're not doing this necessarily to be some mega golf league at the end of the day. The other thing that stood out to me, have you ever been to a sporting event where they don't charge for parking?
Well, I actually...
a couple high school football games, maybe?
No. Actually, I will say that at the old Western Open back in the day out of Cog Hill, I think they didn't charge for parking in the later years because there's too much cash floating around. You know, mm-hmm. You're giving people... And the same thing at John Deere this year. They didn't charge for parking just because they tried to... During the pandemic, they tried to get away from cash, mm-hmm. right? So I think what they did was they probably, I think we raised the ticket prices a little bit. So, you wind up getting the same amount of revenue, but it's just you don't have to handle cash.
Right.
So, what's free? I don't know. Nothing's free, right?
Right.
And I'm all for the Saudis subsidizing concession prices. So you don't have to have an $18 beer at the PGA Championship, which was a really horrible thing for the PGA of America to do. I mean, give me a break. $18 for a beer. When you compare it to...
It's worse than Dodger Stadium.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's terrible. It's like going to the Chicago Stadium and paying, $10 for a slice of pizza or something. I mean, give me a... It's just ridiculous. It's really an insult to the fans who are buying your tickets. I mean, it's just not cool. And if you look at what Augusta National does, I mean, they err on the other side where they keep the ticket, where they keep the concession prices so incredibly low that it's people are taking photographs of the menu at the Masters and putting it up on their Facebook page because it's so unbelievably inexpensive. So,
it must be a Georgia thing because what is the Mercedes-Benz Superdome 2 in Georgia? They're known for having very reasonable concession prices.
There you go.
Must be that Southern hospitality.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I'll tell you what, if you go past the Cheddar Curtain and go up to Wisconsin, the prices are much more reasonable than they are in Chicago. And part of that is because their retail taxes are so much lower than they are here. So, it'll be great to see what and I agree with that. This is almost like the American Football League model where you could take these live events to smaller markets. Portland, it's a good idea. How about Kansas City? How about Milwaukee? Milwaukee's had, Wisconsin's had the Ryder Cup in the last couple of years. But, Indianapolis. I mean, the BMW goes to Indianapolis every once in a while, mm-hmm. down to Crooked Stick, but they don't have anything every. I mean, there's plenty of markets in the country that don't have golf. But obviously Chicago's a big market and it's a great golf market. They're smart to come here. And then they're smart to go out to Rich Harvest Farms because I don't know that there's any other course. They can't play Medina because Medina is going to be undergoing a renovation this year. And I don't think Medina would take it because it's live. I don't think they would take it. There's a lot of...
Olympia Field. Suitor.
Yeah. Olympia Field's not going to take, because these courses are affiliated with the PGA Tour or golf, right?
Right.
The USGA, the PGA of America, the PGA Tour. I mean, those courses are affiliated with those organizations. Rich Harvest Farms is not. They've never had a men's PGA Tour event or a PGA Tour, similar quality. Mm-hmm. Not that this is the same as the PGA Tour, but you've never had men's PGA Tour players playing out at Rich Harvest Farms.
So. And the other challenge too is you have to find golf courses that are suitable to carry a broadcast as well, and not every single golf course is going to be suitable to carry a broadcast as well.
Right, right. Well, wait till they get the broadcast wires out at Rich Harvest Farms. I mean. That place is so spread out, you know, it's unbelievable. Because I worked at the Solheim Cup in 2009, and we would take the photographers to, out to the 15th hole, right? And it was a, it's like, you know, in a golf cart. You had to take them in a golf cart because it was pretty far to go out there. And that was as far, those were the holes that they took pictures, 15, 16, 17, 18. That was it. Because the, because it got to be so far, you couldn't even go to the, like the 10th tee was, it was just such a, such a walk. So it'll be interesting to see, what the broadcast looks like and how many fans go out there. And I think it will get fans because I think Chicagoans love golf. And there's a lot of people in the western suburbs that are really golf lovers. And I think there's a lot of curiosity about it. And man, it'll be cool. Maybe, you know, it might be the last time you get to see Phil Mickelson because he's not going to be, you know, when the Champions Tour comes to Chicago, he's not going to be playing there.
Right.
When we come back, there is the news this week about Tiger Woods and the offer that he turned down from LIV Golf. And also, are players turning their back on Tiger as well? We'll discuss all of that. This segment brought to you by Coghill Golf and Country Club, home of 42 practice bays with Top Tracer technology.
From PGA to where you should play, this is the CDGA Golf Show with Tyler Rocky and Barry Cronin, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
This segment brought to you by Zero Friction and their new Wheel Pro Golf Bag. Tyler Rocky and Barry Cronin on the CDGA Golf Show with you every single Sunday morning from 7 to 9 a.m. Tiger Woods back in the news this week. We haven't heard from our friend Tiger in quite some time, really since he struggled to get through the British Open, unfortunately. What is that, about a month ago now, or a little less than a month ago now.
Yeah.
But the offer, the details, or at least we're a little closer to what the number is on how much Tiger Woods was offered to play in the LIV Golf Series. So Greg Norman was on with Tucker Carlson earlier this week, and we knew that Tiger had turned down a high nine-figure offer. I think my guesstimate was it was around 750, 800, and we found out earlier this week it was in the 700 to $800 million range for Tiger Woods to come over and take part in the LIV Golf Series. Now, $700 to $800 million is a lot of money to turn down, and that is a major, major, major moral high ground that Tiger Woods is taking to not join LIV Golf.
Well, Tiger, and the funny thing is, Tiger's only made $120 million on the golf course.
Right.
Only. Mm-hmm. Only. Phil made $95 million. It's tough to make ends meet on that. You know, though, you know.
Well, when you've got gambling, that's like Phil. Did.
Right, Phil, yeah. Phil does. So Tiger, you know, good for him. I mean, he's, I mean, I remember when he first turned pro, they said, this will be the first billion-dollar athlete. So he may be. I don't know how much he's got, but you know, between Nike and all the other sponsors that he's had, I mean, obviously, his 2008 fire hydrant situation curtailed some of his ability to earn. He lost some sponsors there, but yeah, I mean, Tiger doesn't need the money, and none of them need the money, really. But he didn't need the money, and he's obviously a legacy guy. So good for him.
And it would kind of be, in Tiger's sense, biting the hand that feeds you, I think, if he were to jump. Because he built up the PGA Tour to what it is now, the purses to what they are now.
Absolutely. 100%.
Without that, I mean, these purses are nowhere near the amounts that they're. And again, The LIV Tour purses will forever and always be larger than the PGA Tours, but the PGA Tour purses would not be nearly where they are right now if it were not for Tiger Woods. This was from Curtis Strange on PGA Tour radio earlier this week, talking about the LIV Golf players that, by jumping ship, they are turning their backs on Tiger Woods.
To see him and to see the way he talked about this and his legacy in the game, and
And it's easy for him to say because he's done very well and he's, you know, arguably the best player of all time. But be that as it may, they offered him an enormous amount of money too. But you're right. When he came off there, he was just full of gratitude because he was able to play. Put that in perspective. And as we get older, we look at things differently. They've turned their back on a Tiger Woods when you think about it. But it's just annoying that your game, that not only do I respect and love so much, it's the players that came before me and who paved the way. And I just think we owe them more than this.
So that was Curtis Strange earlier this week. Now, here's the one thing I'll point out with Tiger. We have seen two different iterations of Tiger the person. Tiger the person is not what the Tiger we know today in terms of the way that he interacts on the golf course with other players. I mean, Tiger turned his back on a lot of players before this current iteration, a more grateful Tiger Woods that we see on the course today.
Right. Tiger's changed a lot. I mean, in that he's older. I mean, he's just older. He's more mature. When Tiger came out when he was 19, 20 years old, he was an assassin. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was no doubt about it. He didn't want to talk to you. He wasn't, you look at McIlroy and Hovland during the British Open, you know, they're practically fist bumping each other all the time. I mean, mm-hmm. they're having a nice round of golf. Tiger wasn't that guy. Tiger would hardly go in the locker room. He'd walk through the locker room, but he wasn't looking at you. I mean, yeah, over the years, did he build up friendships on the PGA Tour, et cetera, and so forth? He did. I mean, I think he became, after a few years on tour, he was a professional golfer. You know, he was a guy that was totally has always respected the game, and he respected you as another player, right? So he would never disrespect you on the golf course, right? Mm-hmm. But he was always trying to beat your butt. And one of the great trash talkers of all time, too. So over the years, he built up relationships. But, you know, when he came out in 1997, I mean, he was out to establish who he was and not be everybody's friend. I mean, there's a lot of fraternizing mm-hmm. on the PGA Tour now, because a lot of these guys, everybody, they grow up with each other playing golf. Like yesterday, for example, at the Western Am, Austin Greaser playing in his final match with Mateo Fernandez de Oliveira. I mean, they had a great match, and there was a lot of respect and there was a lot of sportsmanship afterwards because mm-hmm. they know each other.
They play
against each other. The kid from Argentina, guess he plays at Arkansas.
Right.
He's a Hog. He's a Sooner.
Yeah, and that's just the era that we're in now, too. Social media makes it so easy to touch base, keep in contact, and just know who these other players are for longer periods. Like, I mean, you hear it all the time in football and basketball. Like, these players have known each other since they were 10, 12 years old,
right?
For the most part, through the AAU circuits, through keeping up on social media. Mm-hmm. People are aware, especially where you're ranking 8-year-olds for how good they are.
Right, right. They're playing AJGA events when they're young. I mean, we've seen anybody who watches golf a lot. You've seen the photo of Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas having a ham sandwich at some tournament. And they're good friends. They've been friends for years. So, nothing wrong with that. But you're right. I mean, Tiger has changed over the years, no doubt about it. And there is a point now he can't really compete anymore. And I think he knows that. And therefore, I think if he was still competing, he might be a little tougher on these guys. But he knows he's kind of marginal, and he's not Tiger anymore. He's not the real Tiger. So he does understand he's smart enough to know his legacy in the game, and it's good what he's doing. He's become a better person, better player, and a better figure for the game of golf throughout all this. He also announced that he's going to have a new junior tournament.
That's right, I did see that.
So that'll be a good thing, and that'll be good.
Yeah. When we come back, we will whip around the CDGA as well as the rest of the local golf scene here in Illinois. This segment was brought to you by Zero Friction, the most innovative products company in golf.
Golf is on your mind and on the air right now.
This is the CDGA Golf Show
on ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. Presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
This segment brought to you by X-Golf Downers Grove with easy access off of I-88 and I-355. It's the CDGA Golf Show. Tyler Aki and Barry Cronin every single Sunday morning with you, 7 to 9 a.m. If you've missed anything, be sure to check out the CDGA Golf Show podcast on the ESPN Chicago app or wherever you get your podcast. Don't forget, we will have Xander and Hanley coming up from 10 to 1, leading you into Dion Miller's pregame show for White Sox baseball as they look to split a series with the Texas Rangers. Oh, you're shaking your head over there,
God
Barry,
help
you?
Us. God help us, White Sox fans.
By the way, thank you to Jake Cantu as well for producing today, and thank you to Vince Pellegrino for joining us earlier today at 8 o'clock. If you missed that conversation, check out the podcast. What's going on around the local scene, Barry?
Well, I'm going to give you the local scene, but I think we really should mention the Women's British Open. It is like there's not an American name on the list until somebody's tied for 16th, Marina Alex. But leading is Hinako Shibuno. In-G Chun is in second place. In-B Park is T4. So, and the list goes on, and these folks wonder why people don't watch women's golf. There's no Americans. So, girls, you have to start putting and chipping and practicing more. Okay. The Illinois Open was earlier this week. David Perkins, an Illinois State graduate, won 6 under par. All the young kids really performed. Varun Chopra, who was at Northwestern and Illinois. Daniel Hudson, who's a West Suburban guy, Western Springs guy, played at Kansas, set a course record 65 the other day and finished at 4 under par. And so anyway, and I just want to mention, 62-year-old Roy Biancalana, who gave up golf for about 10 years, tied for 7th. So good for him. Congratulations. So it was a good tournament at White Eagle, did a great job hosting. And it was a really well-run tournament. Brad Slocum, Kerry Williams out there at the Illinois PGA. Also, wanted to mention, I had mentioned earlier that the University of Illinois had 3 guys in the Sweet 16 at the Western Amateur. At the 46th Junior PGA Championship out at Cog Hill, Max Herendeen of Bellevue, Washington, an Illinois commit, won the tournament by five shots, 16 under par. So there we go.
Awesome stuff. This segment brought to you by X Golf Downers Grove with easy access off of I-88 and I-355. We'll talk to you guys next week.